going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Tis a good morning indeed. It is NFL Christmas morning. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is NFL draft day, my dudes and my dudettes. It is not officially the first day of the NFL new year, because the first day of the NFL new year is like a couple of weeks ago. But it's the first day of the fans' new year, right? Like, this is the first day that for us as NFL fans, it feels like we're done celebrating Philadelphia. It feels like we're done talking about the Super Bowl. It feels like the 2024 season is officially concluded, and it is on to bigger and better and new, ladies and gentlemen. And we are thrilled to have you guys along for the ride as we are set for 4 hour sports talks, fun, and shenanigans. I am Rob Brown. One more day at the Casa de Love. One more day coming to you live from the Bro Cave this AM, as I found out yesterday that the thing that I brought my car into the shop for turns out not the only thing wrong with the car. So that's unfortunate, but it does mean the car had to stay in the shop one more day, which means one more day here. But tomorrow morning, I have been assured, tomorrow morning back to normal, I'll be back in the network studio. However, working from home, courtesy of technology and the internet in the year of 2025, means We're good. We got 4 hours coming your way. Back at the Radio Ranch, the man in charge of this and every radio program you've ever heard, listened to, and at least slightly enjoyed, the BMOC, the Alpha and the Omega of the Fan Upstate, the content cash cow, Colonel Grudge himself, the great one Lonzo, at the controls this AM. Zo, happy draft day.
Happy draft day, Rob. I just want to, I'm not trying to be that guy, but if your car's ready tomorrow, how are you going to be here tomorrow?
Well, it'll be ready today. I'll have it.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
Okay. That's fair.
That's fair. If there is one thing that I do, it is hold semantics against everyone that I talk to. So it is only.
Wow. And then he's gone because he probably hit the power button. So I'm going to talk just a few seconds before I hit the music while he figures out that he just killed his feed. That's one of the problems with someone being at home. But I love the picture that's stuck on the stream. By the way, we're on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and X. Check out the screen where the Undertaker there is just stuck. Hopefully he realizes that he is gone. And I don't know that he does. So we will quickly play some music while I try to figure out how to get a hold of him. All right, as Rob said, I am looking forward to the draft. He is presently working on getting back into the studio. He says that there was a power surge. So what we're going to do is we are going to go ahead and talk about the draft tonight. I just want to say that I am very excited to see what the Carolina Panthers are going to do tonight. And if they're indeed going to be trades, there are rumors all over the place that the Cleveland Browns are going to trade out of two. And I don't believe that. I believe they're going to go ahead and take Travis Hunter. I heard on the previous show, on the Pat Boyle show, what he thinks they're going to do. He thinks they're going to trade to Dallas and get another pick. And if they get another pick, then they would have, I think, 6-12 or something like that. And if they were able to do that, then they could probably get Travis Hunter and also Shedeur Sanders, which they should go ahead and do. That would be exciting for Cleveland. My best friend in the entire world, still back in Ohio, big Cleveland Browns fan, always excited around this time of year and then immediately depressed. And I know there are certain fan bases where that happens. As someone who's also a Carolina Panthers fan, I could say that I'm not in that situation, because the Panthers historically have done pretty well. Maybe not so much lately, but since the beginning of the franchise, they have drafted pretty well. I mean, think of some of the other draft picks that they've had, like Luke Kuechly. I mean, what a draft pick that was. And they could go any direction. I'm going to stick with what I said yesterday and go with that. I believe that that Ashton Jante is going to drop there, and we're going to take him. I see Rob Brown is back.
You know,
it looked like you put your hands down hard, and it looked like you hit the power button. That's what it looked like.
If I hit the power button, I somehow Bruce Bannered the power button and shut off power to the neighborhood, because, buddy, when I tell you it just went dark in this house, I mean like the abyss dark. I mean like bottom of the Twilight Zone in the Marianas Trench dark in this house just mere seconds ago. So I do apologize for that spectacular timing, ladies and gentlemen, but.
And if people were watching the stream, you had the Undertaker look. It went dark. Your eyes were rolled back in your head. It was pretty awesome. It was nice.
Well, just outstanding timing. Let's go ahead and hope that doesn't happen again, because that was the only word I can come up with is infuriating. I am relatively sure. I just woke up the wife screaming, "Yo, what the F?" when it happened. And I did make sure that I was off the air before I did, Lonzo, just so we're clear. But 100% when I realized that everything was completely dark in this house, I may have muttered an obscenity or three while I was waiting for the whole thing to come back together.
I think we're good. On my drive in, I did notice a lot of lightning in the area. So that's probably what got you.
There's none here. It's not raining. There's no lightning. I don't know what it was. I am going to say, okay, I'm gonna go ahead and tell the story that I told you, Great One, yesterday. Part of the reason that the car is in the shop is because about 4 weeks ago, I was driving home from the office, and I watched a squirrel run across the road, and it tried to jump in front of a big truck. Right, like a big F-150, F-250, like a big truck. And this squirrel completely mistimed its jump, and it took an absolute header into the side of this truck, and it was concussed. It wasn't dead. It didn't get run over. Like, it battering rammed skull into the side of the truck like it was trying to tackle it. Battering rammed this truck. And I was watching this happen from the other side of the road from a red light. And I watched this squirrel take a header into the door of this truck and then bounce off of it back into the turn lane. It was on Haywood Road, bounce back into the middle turn lane. And as I'm watching it, I realized, like, I was like, oh, well, that squirrel's cooked. And then I realized it was not, but it was very clearly very concussed, right? And it's just laying in the turn lane, and the poor thing's like picking its head up and trying to look around, and it would pick its head up and look around, and then its head would go back down, and then it would like try to stand up, couldn't do it, fall back down. And I'm like, all right, as much as it's just a squirrel, like, I gotta give this little dude a chance, right? I gotta give this little dude a shot. I gotta give him his best chance to try to make it. So I pulled my car off to the side of the road, I took an old t-shirt, I went across, and I picked the squirrel up. And this is where my brain shut off, because the thought that I had in that moment was that, you know what, I got my dog stuff in the car. I got a little water bowl. I got a bottle of water. I'm going to bring homeboy. I'm just going to set him on the front seat of the truck, and I'll give him a little cap of water, right? Let him have some water. Let him hydrate up. Let him get his senses about him. Before I release him back into nature. What can I say? I'm a bleeding heart conservationist, okay? So I grab this squirrel who just lets me pick him up. I bring him to the front seat of the car. I got him wrapped up. I give him a little water. He takes a couple of sips, and then he finally starts to get his wits about him, right? Like, he starts to kind of look around. He's keeping his head up. He's looking around, whatever. Everything's going great. And so all the doors to the truck are open. I'm kind of pulled off into a neighborhood. All the doors in the truck are open, and I unwrap the t-shirt that I got him wrapped in here. And what does this little S of a B do? Instead of, you know, jumping out into nature where squirrels go, this little dude scurries off the front seat across the floorboard of where the passenger sits, and weasels his little way up into the engine compartment from underneath the dashboard. Okay. I can't see him. I can't get him out. He's just a part of my car now. And I'm like, okay. So I wait 4 or 5 minutes, 5, 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, trying to give him time to come back out. And he doesn't. So I get to the point where I'm like, well, hopefully, fingers crossed, hopefully, He came out through the engine well, right? Like, we went down through the compartment, and he weaseled out of the front, and now he's gone. I never saw him, but I'm like, all right, that must be it. And if not, then I'll just drive home. I'll leave all my doors open, and I'll give him time. He'll come out eventually. So I drove home, and I left the car completely open for over 6 hours. I just hung out in my kitchen so I could see the car, but I left the two front doors open, the two rear doors open, and the back hatch open to the car. And so I just left it, and I figured he'll come out eventually. Well, again, didn't have time to just stare at the car and make sure, but I figured 6.5 hours, plenty of time for a little dude to get his wits about him and to go, hey, I'd rather be in a tree than inside of this Ford truck, I think. So I started driving around, thought it was all good. About a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, the wife gets in the car and she goes, what in the blue hell is that smell? The squirrel has very clearly died somewhere in the car, and I can't find him. Can't find him. Can't find him up in the engine compartment. Can't find him anywhere in the car. Can't find him in the cabin. Can't find this damn dead squirrel anywhere. So I had to bring the car into the shop for something else. I had a mechanical issue going on that I needed fixed. So I bring it in, and I tell the guys, I'm like, hey, look, the squirrel died in my car, and it stinks real bad, and I hate to do this, and it's okay if you have to charge me $1,000 for it, but y'all got to find that squirrel. Y'all got to get him out of my car. Like, clearly he died in here. Y'all got to get him out of the rig. And they're like, well, that's gross and bad, but we'll get it done. So I brought the car in for the mechanical issue. Well, on the drive yesterday over to the dealership to get it fixed, I had a tire blowout. I mean, just explode. No rhyme, no reason. Didn't hit a curb. Not that I know of, picked up a nail or anything. It just, Lonzo, it sounded like a pistol. Bang, went off in my cabin.
Squirrel ghost. The squirrel ghost, gotcha.
Dude, I don't know, I guess. What I know is there was a pop in my car that I think reasonably presumed to be a gunshot going off. Turned out my back rear tire exploded. Well, I pulled over on the side of the road. I opened up the trunk because that's where the spare tire is, right? And I lifted up the little false floor in the bed of the truck to get to the spare tire. And what did I find? Just the emulsified, half mummified, slightly oozing body of a dead squirrel laid right up on top of my spare tire. He just cuddled up in that spare tire well and bleeping died. That's where he was. That's where he's been the whole time. Got him up out of there in what was one of the grossest things I've ever had to do in my entire life. Changed the tire, dropped it off at the shop. The guy who works there, he texted me. I dropped it off the night before. Yesterday at about the middle of the day, he texted me and he goes, okay, do you want the good news? Do you want the bad news? I said, good news. He goes, good news is I got another tire. You're good there. I said, cool. He goes, good news is I got the parts ordered for the door. Now you got two options here. He said, you can come pick up your car and you can drop it off to us later this week, either tomorrow or Friday, and we can get it fixed, or you can leave it here. And I said, I'll leave it there. And he goes, okay, bad news. And I said, what's the bad news? And he said, your car reeks. We are going to have to like fumigate your car to get it to where it doesn't smell bad enough. We can bring it into the shop. That's what I lived with. Dude, it was disgusting. So here's what I am, the assumption that I'm working under, great one, after a power surge to the house to start our show this morning. The assumption I am currently working on is that I am under attack from some sort of squirrel army based on the fact that I kidnapped and then effectively murdered one of their own. All right. Tried to do a good deed for Mother Nature. Tried to do a good deed for Gaia. Tried to do a good deed for the outside world. And wouldn't you know it, I end up kidnapping, murdering one of the squirrels. And now I have to assume that outside there are like 7 to 12 squirrels angry who know the truth. They are now squirrel death truthers. And they are outside actively working to chew through the power and internet cables to my house. So if anything happens tomorrow or the rest of this show, please know the squirrels did it. That's the conspiracy theory now. Unbelievable.
I've been talking about them squirrels for years. Ninja squirrels around my house are they're you got to watch out for them. Here's the thing, though. You interrupted the circle of life. I mean, sometimes things need to go the way they go. And your as you call, bleeding heart got in the way, and now you see what it got you. So next time, let nature take its curse.
Here's course, the thing, rather. I am fine with that. The whole nature is metal thing, I get it. It's a terrifying thing, nature. It is ruthless. It is uncompassionate. It is uncaring. It is cold. I get it. A squirrel taking a header into the side of an F-250 is not nature's way, all right? Squirrels didn't evolve in a world where they had to worry about taking a battering ram skull shot to the side of a 2,750-pound truck. I just wanted to
Dude, I've seen squirrels run into the side of a tree before. You're giving them way too much credit. You know the size of their brains? Come on.
Listen. I felt bad for my
Call me dude. Heartless if you want. I mean, it's a squirrel.
I felt bad for my dude. I just wanted to give him a shot. That's all. Again, call me a bleeding heart.
But now, you're stinky car Rob whenever you try to bring your vehicle.
Yeah, I am. That sucks, dude. That sucks so bad. 100%. I've got a nickname in that shop now. 1,000%. My car is written up, and in that shop, there's a ticket that says Squirrel Boy across the top of it or something real dumb, and I'm not happy about it. All right? All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got a show lined up for you today. 8 o'clock, Lulu Kessin is going to come by. We are going to touch on the South Carolina baseball team. We're also going to check in on the women's basketball side as they try to get it right, get back to the national championship next year. We know Malaysia Fulwiley is out. They have also added now three big name transfer portal players. We'll talk to Lulu Kessin at 8 o'clock. At 8:40, Rashad Beard going to stop by live on the stream. We'll talk a little Carolina Panther draft strategy with Rashad Beard. See how he's feeling about the Cats with their 8 overall pick today. At 9 o'clock, Hayden Asmario coming by. We'll get his overall thoughts on the NFL draft today. And at 9:20, Fight Club. I can't yell yet. The wife's still over there in bed. Fight Club at 9:20. With the great one, Lonzo, where we will finish up our WrestleMania thoughts and check in on what was a very eventful Monday Night Raw. The rest of the show, from here to there, whatever you want to get to. If you have draft thoughts, questions, or opinions, I want them. 3 NBA playoff games last night. We're going to talk about those. 3 NHL playoff games. We're going to talk about those. The Braves back on the right side of things. 11 hits last night for the offense. Kind of feels like Braves ball again. All that and more coming up on 4 hours of excellence. The Rob Brown Show is on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo. We are going to have a lot of NFL draft talk today. I was watching the ESPN did earlier this morning a roundtable reporter draft where they effectively asked the lead beat reporter of every one of their NFL teams, or every one of, I guess I should say, the NFL teams, to put together their pick, and basically allowed the beat reporters to cover, to act as GM for their respective teams that they cover, obviously. And so they dropped their first round mock yesterday. They made a big TV deal of it today. And listen, I mean, I think at the end of the day, the beat reporters are, if we're going to do a mock draft that does not involve trades, obviously, the beat reporters are probably a source that I would be willing to say, all right, there might be some levity to this. There might be some level of accuracy, because these guys theoretically should, although I think there are some of them big eyebrow raised to one in particular. And if you follow them, you know exactly who I'm talking about. But there are some that maybe aren't quite as good as others, but by and large, the beat reporters should, you would think, have the best insight as to what the what their respective NFL teams are going to do. So I wanted to give you what the mock guys on ESPN are saying right now. Here's how theirs shaped out. I want to go through these. We won't spend a ton of time on all of them, great one, but I am curious as to see if there are any spots on this mock list that you think somebody got a little bit out of line. Here's how they had it shaped up. They got Cam Ward going to Tennessee, number one. No big shock there. They got Travis Hunter going number two to the New York Giants. Again, no real shock there. Again, I think that there is a chance that the Giants could shock somebody and go ahead and take a quarterback. But Abdul Carter going to the Giants does feel like the right pick. New England Patriots at number four, Will Campbell, offensive lineman, LSU. That's who I slated them in there. They also, and this is the first one where I'm like, maybe I'm outside of the loop here. Maybe I'm misevaluated here. They've got Ashton Janti going.
By the way, really quick, you skipped Cleveland. And you went to New York and had them too. And
oh, I thought I said Travis Hunter in passing. I thought I said Travis Hunter to Cleveland.
You said Travis Hunter to the Giants.
Oh, that's my bad. Okay, so Tennessee, Cam Ward, Cleveland, Travis Hunter at two, Abdul Carter three to the Giants, Will Campbell four to the Patriots, Ashton Janti fifth to the Jags. So this one I'm kind of interested in, and we talked a little bit about this one yesterday. Ashton Janti to the Jags, I find interesting for a couple of reasons. They've got ETN, Trevor's running buddy from Clemson. They've got Tank Bigsby. that they brought in not terribly long ago. Yes, I mean, I guess we're looking at this as you're getting a guy who is considered by many to be a generational running back out of this draft. Lonzo, you have been lobbying for the past couple of days if Ashton Jeanty was to fall to 8. And I don't think there's a chance he does, but if he was to fall to 8 for Carolina to take him instead of an edge rusher there, and I'm not even against the idea. I still think edge rusher is more important, but I'm not against the pick there. I just find it interesting with Jacksonville, but maybe this says more. Maybe it says that the NFL circles are even more in on Ashton Jeanty than we think they are, because Liam Cohen with Jacksonville, supposed to be an offensive guru. We'll find out if he is. He did step in there at Tampa Bay and was kind of able to keep the momentum going. Now, Carolina Panther head coach Dave Canales had going for Baker Mayfield and the Bucks when he left to head to Charlotte, North Carolina. Liam Cohen is supposed to be of that same vein. He is in the Sean McVay coaching tree, supposed to be in that same young prodigal style of offensive mastermind. If they genuinely and truly feel as if Ashton Jeanty is that much of a piece, that they are going to get him at 5 and they're going to sacrifice upgrading an offensive line in front of Trevor Lawrence, does that say more about Jacksonville leadership, or does that say more about how good they think this kid is going to be?
Every once in a while, there's a running back that gets the kind of talk that Jeanty's getting. That's not for, that's for obvious reasons. And some people saying, you know, you can't draft a running back in the first round. You can if they're really good. You absolutely can. And he seems to be really good. So I don't think it's a stretch at all. I still think if it's best available and you get to that point and you do kind of have a need, you're going to take them. So I still.
Well, that's my thing, though. I mean, like, I'm not saying it's.
If you want an offensive lineman, you can get that in a second or third round.
I don't disagree with that either, but like my whole thought for Jacksonville here is, and I will acknowledge that perhaps, and I think this is something that all of us do as much, and I try my best not to, but it's kind of the way the game gets played. There is a part of me that wonders, like, okay, am I maybe doing this because I am pulling for Trevor Lawrence to succeed? And to me, as good as Ashton Jeanty can be, just like any other player, he also could be a bust. And so could any offensive lineman they pick up. But the Jags picking up an offensive lineman in the second, third, fourth round is not the same as the Jags picking up one of the good offensive line. Armand Membu out of Missouri, I like this kid quite a bit. And I'm going to tell you, there's a, I'm not going to say big drop, but there's a decent sized drop off from those first couple of offensive linemen, Will Campbell, Armand Membu, down to even the offensive lineman coming off the board in the first round, Tyler Booker from Alabama, Gray Zabel from North Dakota State. Those are the next two projected offensive linemen off the board. And to be honest with you, there may not be another offensive lineman that comes off the board in the first round. The mock guys do have one more offensive lineman coming off the board, but the drop from Membu and Campbell all the way down to Booker and Zabel is a step back. And then the step back from those two guys to the next group of offensive linemen is an even bigger step back. I want to give Trevor Lawrence the best opportunity to prove he is or he ain't the guy. And I don't know. I mean, I guess Ashton Jeanty does that, in that you really have to play the run defensively when you're playing Jacksonville now, but I don't know how much Ashton Jeanty adds to allow Trevor Lawrence to thrive. And as much as you got to have a good run game in the NFL, it's quarterback league. We all know that. Like, that's just the vernacular now, because it is true. So that pick's a little interesting to me. Tell you what we'll do. Let's take a break. That's the top five. They got Cam Ward to Tennessee, Travis Hunter to Cleveland, Abdul Carter to the Giants, Will Campbell to the Patriots, and Ashton Janti to the Jags. When we come back, got a longer segment. Let's go through the rest of the first round. We'll tell you where the Carolina Panthers have selected according to their mock team, the Atlanta Falcons, where Shedeur Sanders falls to, and more. That's coming up as we talk NFL draft this AM on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Got a comment on the Instagram live feed at the Rob Brown Show. If you want to toss me a follow over on the gram, you are welcome to do so. Chase Hawkins sent a message on the Instagram feed. He said, what if the Titans don't go quarterback at number one? Now, I am willing to entertain for the sake of the conversation. I'm going to tell you, they are. It would be one of the biggest draft shocks in recent memory if the Titans do not go with Cam Ward at number one. And I'm not basing that on just like the belief that that is the case. I'm basing that on Las Vegas draft odds. They've got Cam Ward at like minus 50,000 the last I checked, which is, I mean, that is all but a guarantee at this point that they're good. That is somebody in Vegas has found out that Tennessee has just straight up said, we're going Cam Ward. I would be stunned if they go anywhere else, because here is the deal. As much as I have said a number of times that I think Will Levis has shown enough flashes that I think he can be a good NFL quarterback. I just think it's going to take pairing him up with the right QB coach, with the right head coach. And it's going to take a little bit of time and polish, because how many times have I said, I think a lot of quarterbacks that are considered bust out of the gate, I think we don't put enough blame on the franchise, honestly. Like I, and again, it might turn out that I'm completely wrong about this, but Bryce Young to me is the example of that. My man spent a year and another half a year toiling away for a Carolina Panther franchise that I sat here and tried to tell you the franchise is bad, guys. Like, I know we want to blame it on the quarterback, and I know you all want him to step in and be an auto pro bowler because he's a number one overall pick, and that's all well and good, but the franchise is bad. And at the end of the day, even the best employees are going to struggle when they are being asked to deal with a toxic workplace. And that is part of what we are dealing with here. Now, that being said, even if I believe Will Levis can be a good quarterback, and even if I believe it is the Titans, not Will Levis, that are the problem, and I think those are fair beliefs to have, even if I believe those things are true, and I do, the reality of the situation is that Cam Ward's a better quarterback. Like, Cam Ward's just a better all-around quarterback than Will Levis. I'm not saying that I think Cam Ward is on his way to Canton. I'm saying I think he's a better all-around quarterback. And I think if you are Tennessee and you've got your new coach and you've got your new setup and you believe that you've got the weapons, and it's really not as bad of a roster as it might feel like it is in Tennessee. But if you feel like you've got everything set up for success and you are indeed a quarterback away, you have to go with Cam Ward. He's just got a better future ahead of him than Will Levis, even if I think Will Levis can actually be a decent NFL quarterback. So I don't think there's a shot. Now, if they do not go Cam Ward with the number one overall spot, Tennessee's a team that's got plenty of needs too. And the reality here is,
what about trading out? I mean, if they're not going to, they could get some stuff if they trade out.
They absolutely could. And that is that to me, there were only two options for Tennessee, which is Cam Ward or trade back. Like, I don't think there's a point. I mean, Abdul Carter is the one guy that I would say that is the best chance. I'm not putting the old Rob Brown superstar stamp on him. The last two quarterbacks that I put, last two players that I put the Rob Brown can't miss certified superstar stamp of approval on were Jaden Daniels out of LSU and Lamar Jackson out of Louisville. Those are the last two players that I've said that guy can't miss with him. This guy's a guaranteed NFL pro bowler repeatedly. Nailed it. I'm not putting that on Cam Ward yet. I'm not saying he can't be that. I'm saying I'm not calling that he is. I would rather be pleasantly surprised than put that on him and have him bust out and lose my really good rating when it comes to that guy's a guaranteed superstar. The closest we have to that in this draft is Abdul Carter. But the treasure trove, and I agree with you, the treasure trove that I think Tennessee could get in return for that number one overall pick, in return for somebody earning the right to draft Cam Ward, which is effectively what you are trading for there, I think it would be too big to pass up on, unless Cam Ward is just your guy. And I think if you're Tennessee, you kind of have to take the swing on getting your franchise quarterback. And if you have to take that swing, Cam Ward has to be your pick because of that. So we'll find out. We're going to take a look at it. We're going to keep our eyeballs on that as we get closer to pick number one going on the clock tonight at 8 p.m. Let's keep going with this, this beat reporter mock draft. We left off with the Jags taking Ashton Jante. Tennessee took Cam Ward. Cleveland taking Travis Hunter. Abdul Carter to the Giants. Will Campbell, the offensive lineman out of LSU, to the Patriots. Ashton Jante to the Jags. They've got Las Vegas going. Armon Membu, the offensive lineman out of Mizzou. There's only two picks there for Las Vegas. Great one. And it is an offensive lineman, or it's Shedeur Sanders. Those are the only two picks. Here's the interesting thing. And again, I know a lot of these mock draft experts, they kind of lean on each other and they kind of base their picks on what everybody else is picking. Shedeur Sanders to the Raiders was one I've seen a number of times. I was looking at mocks last night, taking my last little circle search before we got to tonight's draft. The overwhelming majority of them now have the Saints passing on Shedeur Sanders as well. The majority of them now have Shedeur Sanders falling all the way down to number 21 with the Steelers. And those that did not have the Steelers taking him at 21 have Shedeur Sanders completely falling out of the first round. Like a sizable, significant, recognizable number of mocks now have Shedeur Sanders falling out of the first round. Now, again, I know they all kind of base each other on each other, but what a fall that we have watched this cat take. There was a quote from, was it Russini earlier, or either last night or early this morning? She quoted an AFC assistant head coach as saying, Shedeur Sanders turned off every team, with maybe the exception of one or two, with his interviews. They said that all the talk about arrogance and entitlement, I think it was Russini. I'm going to go find the tweet so I can be correct about this. But one of them quoted an anonymous assistant NFL coach as saying that Shedeur was the definition of entitled and arrogant in his meetings with NFL teams, to the point that they were all turned off by him. And then the coach went on to say that amongst the quarterback coaches in the NFL, they just feel like the guy, quote, isn't that talented, end quote. The full breakdown was very athletic, but not very talented as a quarterback, or at least not talented as a quarterback enough that they felt justified. So all of the sudden, all of this talk about Shedeur falling deep into the first round or potentially out of it entirely, in the last 24 hours, it kind of started to feel like maybe it's not smokescreen. Maybe teams really are out on Shedeur Sanders at large.
See, I don't believe it. I think it's a smokescreen. Although, what if it works so effectively that that assistant coach ended up being, let's say, a Cleveland Brown coach who wants him to drop to the second round since they have the first pick? I mean, it
could be. I'm not saying that it's impossible. Let's be real clear
here. You're taking a chance because you don't believe he's going to be available anyway. But if you can put something out there to cause him to drop so you can take him in the second round, why not do that, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly possible.
And when you're anonymous, no one knows who you are.
This is not me saying that. Listen, any NFL coach who is willing to give a thought to a reporter at this point in time, anybody who's willing to do that is obviously going to do it anonymously. Anybody who's willing to do that is obviously going to keep it quiet. They're not going to attach their name to that. They're going to keep that anonymous. And again, if the reporter isn't boldface making it up, which you got to be pretty stonesy to be willing to make up not just a quote, but that damning of a quote, that's a big deal there. So for me, I'm looking at this and going, maybe there is some sweat. Maybe there is some steam to this being a possibility, to this being a probability that Shedeur Sanders is going to tank. But looking at this mock draft, the Raiders, they ended up saying are going to go Armon Membu. Let's sprint through some more of these picks, and then we'll come back and we'll address what we like and what we don't. The Jets, we've been talking about them taking Tyler Warren, the tight end, out of Penn State, but their beat reporter for ESPN said they go Kelvin Banks Jr., the offensive lineman out of Texas. That feels like a bit of a reach, but the Jets do need offensive linemen, so maybe they're just looking to protect Justin Fields. And for the record, good. I actually approve of that pick quite a bit. If it's not the pick, then Tyler Warren is the pick, but that's a good one. They have Carolina at 8. Going with who I have Carolina going with at 8. That is Jalen Walker, the edge rusher out of the University of Georgia. No problem with that. It is the biggest need on this team. I agree with that take. They've got the Saints going Mason Graham, the defensive lineman out of Michigan, passing on Shedeur Sanders. Tyler Warren going to Chicago. Why? Cole Kmet's already there. Like, is Chicago just about to go old school two tight ends on every play? Like, why is that the move? This is where the mock kind of starts to fall apart for me. Great one, because Chicago's got 4 or 5 needs. Tight end is not one of them. They've got a dog in that spot. I have no idea, unless they just feel like Tyler Warren is without a doubt a can't miss tight end prospect, and Cole Kmet becomes trade bait down the line. I can't see a world where Chicago goes Tyler Warren
unless he's best available right there.
Here's the problem. I think Tyler Warren's going to be a great player at the NFL level. I don't think he's the best available player at that. But I don't think he's the best available player on the board for Chicago at that point. And I don't think he's the best available player on the board that fills a need for Chicago. Like, you're not clicking either one of those two boxes for me. They've got the Niners going Michael Williams out of Georgia, the edge rusher. Tate McMillan, the wide receiver, to Dallas at 12. Jody Barron, the cornerback out of Texas, going to Miami. Colston Loveland, tight end from Michigan, going to Indy. Atlanta going Mike Green, the edge rusher, from Marshall. Arizona taking Tyler Booker, the Alabama offensive lineman. They've got Cincinnati going with Donovan Ezereku, the edge rusher from Boston College. Gray Zabel, the offensive lineman of ND State, going to Seattle. Will Johnson, cornerback from Michigan, going to Tampa. Luther Burden, the third from Mizzou, going to Denver. He's a wide receiver, going ahead of Emeka Egbuka. That's interesting. They've got Shedeur Sanders going to 21 and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Defensive lineman from Oregon, Derek Harmon, to the Chargers. Shamar Stewart, edge rusher from A&M, going to Green Bay. Nick Emenwori, safety of South Carolina, going to Minnesota. I actually like that pick a lot. Fits in very well there. Emeka Egbuka from how about this, though? They got Egbuka from Ohio State going to play with C.J. Stroud with the Houston Texans at pick number 25. I kind of like that a lot.
Yeah, I kind of like that, too.
Matthew Golden, wide receiver from Texas to the Rams. I like that, too. That's absolutely a Sean McVay pick. Malachi Stark, safety from Georgia to Baltimore. James Pierce Jr., the edge rusher out of Tennessee to Detroit. Maxwell Hairston, the cornerback from Kentucky, going to Washington. Buffalo taking Kenneth Grant, defensive lineman, Michigan. Kansas City taking Josh Simmons, the offensive lineman from The Ohio State University.
Yes, please do that.
And the Eagles taking Walter Nolan, the defensive lineman from Ole Miss, at 32. So another SEC D lineman heading to Philly. Nolan's an interesting pick because I have seen him as high as being picked 7th or 8th in mock drafts, and now I've seen him as low as 32. This mock draft from the beat reporters of ESPN is very interesting. There's a couple of spots that I absolutely hate, and there's a couple of spots I think are fantastic picks. So we'll do some more addressing of this mock later. I'll give you my wild picks mock later, where I think the weird stuff might happen this afternoon. I got that coming up for you later in the show, and we will flip it over to the NFL, the NBA. Jimmy Butler goes down, a spill yesterday, lands right on the old coccyx, the tailbone. He may be missing some time, which is real bad for Golden State, who had him for only 8 minutes and dropped the game last night. We'll talk some NBA playoffs, some NHL playoffs, and some baseball coming up as the show rolls on. I am Rob Brown. He is the great one, Lonzo. And this, ladies and gentlemen, will be the most encapsulating 60 seconds of your morning. It's Lonzo Sports Flash.
I was encapsulated by his encapsulating opinion. Game number two, win number two for the Hub City Spartanburgers over the Greenville Drive last night, finishing with the first ever walk-off win for the Burgers, 4-3. Starter Colton Curtis struck out 4-2, while Larson Kendrick fanned 4 of the 6 he faced to earn the win. Boston Celtics now lead the Orlando Magic 2-0 after a 109-100 win behind Jaylen Brown's 36-10 rebound effort. The Celtics got 20 from Kristaps Porzingis, who added 10 boards as well, and 17 from Derek White. Cleveland Browns now have a 2-0 series lead over the Miami Heat after a 121-112 win off of a 30-point game from Donovan Mitchell. The Cavs also had 21 from Darius Garland and 30 from Evan Mobley. Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show is next right here on the Fan Upstate.